This is Kickstart 101 with Graham Shapiro.
Now, we've actually got some additional music for Graham today because of his very special topic. And we weren't, unfortunately for you listeners, able to find the proper one. So we're just going to do a quick one, and then we're going to help me with this. The sisters are doing it for themselves. Okay, that's enough. That's plenty. Okay, we've lost.
Ready to that, just listen, go all the way in.
It was not you that I was worried about. It was me. It was me, not you, and some of the listeners who may have stopped it right at that point. Because Graham, today we are talking about the sisters doing it for themselves in tech.
Absolutely. So, you know, traditionally, there's a website, I'm not sure if you've heard of it, called TechCrunch.
I have heard of TechCrunch.
So they did a survey about startup founders, and they found that only 17% of tech startups were women.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's fairly rare to see, you know, women in tech startups. So I thought it would be interesting to sort of showcase some of them, some of the amazing things that women are actually doing in tech currently around the world.
Well, given that it is Women's Month and Women's Day this week, great. So let's check it out. Let's see what's the vibe. So first up, who is our number one woman in the tech side?
Number one is a lady by the name of Leslia Feinzag. Okay. I'm sure I've pronounced it completely wrong.
It's okay.
But the business is called Venture Kits. Now, what it actually does is it teaches young kids, it's actually, I checked out the website. The general age on these kits is from age 7 to about 13.
Okay.
And she teaches them, that it really is there to teach them entrepreneurial skills. So when, you know, you read about them, it says that the activities sort of give them skills like, directly from the website says, teaches them grit, creativity, problem solving, and communication and people skills. And it's quite interesting because if you had to, without developing or thinking about an entrepreneurial course for kids, you would think, okay, we've got to teach them about what a business is. You know, we've got to teach them, you know, this is what a business does. You know, you've got to make profit. You've got to sell, you know, sort of regular business, business type stuff. So I find the amazing thing about this in particular is it's actually trying to teach them the skills that they'll need if you're an entrepreneur one day. You know, the softer skills, you know, you've got lots of people who have brilliant business ideas. You know, you have lots of people who know how to manage people and run a business. Then you've got other people who, who are technically strong, can do lots of technically brilliant things, but they might not necessarily be able to run a successful business because they lack these sort of softer skills, which are very necessary as an entrepreneur. You know, like, for example, I mean, definitely grit is for sure one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure a lot of guys have started up businesses and just thought, okay, you know what? This is too hard. This is too hard. I'm going back to my day job. And also, I can just say with experience from my own company, you know, you deal with different kind of problems every single day. You're constantly problem solving, it's just part of the process, and then almost every day you want to give up at the same time also.
Okay, so she's actually helping out, and, you know, basically helping kids to get going on things.
For sure, yes. Yeah. So teaching these sort of skills. And I checked out, they're quite cheap. They're like $25. You know, for these kits, and it looks like they're actual games. And I think soon the next thing is to be taking them into digital online games.
Yeah.
But I checked out some of them, and the one, for example, is, you know, make a piece of art and sell it. So it's actually
very practical.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. So woman teaching young people about entrepreneurship. Nice. What else is on your list?
So a lady by the name of Lauren Washington. Now what she's done is this is basically a solution for people to manage multiple social media accounts. What happens very often, you know, in sort of, especially in the business world, you post something on Instagram, you actually want to, there's sites who do it already, but you want to post something on Twitter, you want to post the same post on Facebook, you want to post it on LinkedIn, or you have all these pages and get feeds from all of these different channels.
You're busy catfishing a whole bunch of people at the same time, and you need to be able to like manage that process, right? Okay.
So what she did is she started a company called Keep Up, and what this does is it puts all your social media into one news feed, basically one news feed, and you can actually respond off that news feed. You can respond out of this platform. So it's not just alerts.
Graham, I have to tell you, it sounds like 27 versions of hell. I mean, you've got your Facebook coming down mixed into your Instagram and then your Twitter. I mean, it must be chaos.
So I think what it's there to do is it's to help you manage the feed. So you don't want to miss anything.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to miss anything because you didn't check anything important because you didn't check Instagram for the last 2 hours because you've actually been busy
doing work.
Almost started doing work, exactly. So, but it's also that, you know, for social media, if you've got somebody in your company's, sole purpose is to manage the social media, you know, you don't want them to lose anything important, to miss anything. And it's also if you've got, important feeds that you want to see off all the different platforms, you don't want to miss those either.
Okay. So it's pretty cool. I mean, it sounds maddening, but it is pretty cool. All right. Fine.
She's also got a website, not a website. Called Black Woman Talk Tech. And she does a lot of talks and things like that through there. And, one of her things that she says is that, you know, it's pretty generic, but to me, people often forget this. She says the only real true failure is not learning from your mistakes.
Yeah.
So, which comes part and parcel is mistakes are normal.
Yes.
Very,
and
very
often,
normal.
Particularly in entrepreneurs and tech startups. That's why they created a whole new word for it. They don't even call it failure anymore. They just call it a pivot. It's like, we pivoted here, we pivoted there, pivot.
Okay, so the
sorry, Greg.
No.
Saying terrible things about your pivots.
Yeah, exactly. I pivot daily. Put it that way. So the interesting thing which you also find, and you know, you'll see it a lot through the next two women we're going to speak about, is I find women startups are very social conscious. They're there to solve really social issues that they're finding. And there's an Argentinian lady by the name of Silvina Moschini, and what she's sort of realized that happened is, I don't know where she got this stat from. I don't know if she really did the numbers, but she basically said that $17 trillion worldwide are lost as a result of women leaving their jobs for more flexible options, you know, to have kids and things like that.
Right.
So what she's basically created is a flexible work solution. It's called SheWorks. Now, what this actually does is it does two things. First of all, they've partnered with Facebook, Google, SAP, and Microsoft to provide free training for women in whatever discipline they're in. So it's not just like I don't know if you've seen like Fiverr or freelancer.com.
Sure.
It's not just a place where, you know, you've got skills and you get outsourced to various projects. What they're actually doing is they're helping women who want to be more flexible actually develop further in their professional skills. And then what it actually does is based on what their preferences is from a workplace point of view, it matches them to certain jobs. So the difference with that and why that's so much smarter than the other way is when I started, I was on all these freelancer websites,
mm-hmm.
and a job gets posted 5 hours ago and then there's a million people who've applied. So, you know, so what it does is it sort of directs you to the job as opposed to saying these are all the jobs, apply to whichever ones you think you can get. And
it basically has an algorithm that would sort of look at who's out there with what skills and then say, okay, this might be something that's of interest to you.
Absolutely. And what it does is, you know, you've got highly skilled women out there who want to have families but don't want to particularly work in a full-time job,
mm-hmm.
but they also enjoy working and they enjoy applying their mind. So lots of companies from around the world are employing, you know, women who live in remote areas. Well, sorry, not in remote areas, but remotely.
Yes.
And you know, currently there's over 20,000 women who are using it. It's over 75 countries, and they've got over 120 training courses. Now, these things are, you know, obviously any woman listening out there, it's available.
Right.
It's you know, you can go do it. Even just go check out the training courses. But
don't leave us, Lindiwe, please.
So we've actually got a local version of that. It's not quite as high tech in terms of how it works in directing women, and it doesn't really have the training element. But quite locally, we've got a company called Recruit My Mom.
Recruit My Mom. Okay, fine.
it was started by a woman whose name is Philippa Geard.
Okay.
And she actually won the 2017 National Women's Business Competition in South Africa. So she had only been going for 5 years, and she actually won this big title. What this actually does is, it's a recruitment place for skilled women who, once again, want to work remotely. They want to, they want to apply their mind. And actually, while I was looking for an employee at a stage, I came across them and I contacted them. And the interesting thing is what they told me is the predominant profession in there is chartered accountants.
Interesting.
So you've got it's quite a highly skilled position, and you've got quite a lot of women out there who, so it's a big skill having not accessing these women with highly qualified degrees. You know, it's a big almost skills drain in the country.
Right.
That what this company is looking to sort of fill that gap.
And so people can come on part-time with whatever skill that they have in particular, and these people will help sort of place them for part-time gigs that they can then do in whatever sector they're trained in.
For sure. So not only part-time, it can be full-time,
mm-hmm.
or just working remotely, or it can be for project work. So it can be for anything that's really that you want to do. They'll match you up with someone who's looking for that skill. And I mean, if you think about it today, I mean, just with the changing way of the world, I mean, I was speaking a bit about it last week. I think I talk about it quite often also is the introduction of cloud and working remotely.
Yeah.
And, you know, from anything, from most jobs can be done remotely these days, as long as the company doing it has the
infrastructure,
has the infrastructure to support it. But the what I love really about sort of Recruit My Mom in this, and She Works, is that, you know, you've got, you know, a lot of women who once again, we just mentioned it earlier, but they want to have careers, they want to have children, and they're not sort of prejudiced by working hours, mm-hmm. and they're not, and a lot of, you know, families today need dual incomes. So they're not forced to go work full time and still not be able to do what they want for their families. So right. They're really solving an amazing social issue that's going on out there.
Okay. Graham, any more other women we need to know about? Are there?
So we've got one more, which is, this one's also quite interesting. So, her name is Samantha Snapes, and, she started a company called Re3D. So what she actually wanted to become when she was younger was she wanted to become an astronaut.
Okay.
Just to show you the sort of person who she is, she used to actually phone them. She used to look them up in the phone book and phone them and say, what do I need to do to become an astronaut? And they would tell her, you know, go to college and do science. And she did, and she started working for NASA. So she was probably on her way. But what she did is you know, have you heard of Doctors Without Borders?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's another organization called Engineers Without Borders.
Yeah.
So she was, and I'm sure there's lots of other things without borders.
Borders without borders.
So when she was, she was sort of touring around Rwanda and Nicaragua, she found that these communities or these type of remote communities or sort of tech hungry communities could benefit greatly from having sort of affordable 3D printers.
Mm-hmm.
So, but industrial type 3D printers. So she started developing these sort of 3D printers that can be used in these areas, which can help drive local entrepreneurs to run their own companies and make them self-sufficient and not sort of need, you know, things that you can print to sort of make them right there on their front step.
Right. So once someone in the village needs a pot and you can just like print one right there and then.
Possibly, yeah.
It's kind of cool. Okay. And how big is this company gone?
So they're fairly new. They've just got about $1 million in funding from WeWork.
Okay.
WeWork, I think, is like this international sort of, shared working space. So they've awarded her $1 million. But I imagine they're on their way up.
Amazing. So many things that are going on out there, that are woman related. By the way, we have an SMS in here for you, Graham. It says, hi. About 2 weeks ago, Graham mentioned about not having a fax, and his broken printer cable for 6 months, and it doesn't faze him. I want to send him a fax. Please remind him to fix his printer cable. That is from Ricky Lomi. So there we go. Maybe we can need to print you a new one, so that you can do that.
For sure.
I actually can't remember the last time I got a fax. Somebody actually showed me the other day, that someone had tried to pay them with a check.
That's interesting.
I was like, why? They said, no, they actually get a lot of checks. People pay a lot of checks or to make donations. I was like, no.
So do you know you still have to fax certain things to SARS?
Well, you know that the Israeli army only recently outlawed the use of faxes.
Really?
And it was because someone in like a unit somewhere said to them, guys, even Hezbollah doesn't use faxes anymore. You can't be the high-tech army and not do that. Graham, thank you so much. We'll chat to you again next week, but thanks for bringing us all these women entrepreneurs.
For sure.